What I'll do is I'll just see if I can buy it from them. Well, if he had the Spirit of God living inside of them, he would know that the Spirit of God is not for sale. And so you've got Simon Magus that was an example of somebody that had a head knowledge or a mental assent to something, but there was nothing in here. There's a lot of people like that are walking around and they just simply, oh, I believe in Jesus, I'm good. But I'm gonna show you in a little while how that even the demons have a belief like that. Let me give you another example. We won't turn to it, but we could go to the Gospels. There's a man that you all know that you wouldn't even name your dog. Name is Judas. Judas Iscariot. I mean, that's almost like being named Hitler. Nobody would ever want to name anybody like that unless they've got some mental issues. Well, what about Judas? Was he a Christian? I mean, after all, didn't he walk with Jesus 3 years? I've got a book of sermons in my library about Judas Iscariot. There are some people that believe that he was a saved man. I don't believe that. But they try to make the argument that, well, he repented and he threw the 30 pieces of silver, you know, at the feet of the Jewish leaders. But the Bible says that he departed to his own place. And for 3 years, this guy saw things that you and I have never seen. We have never seen anybody raised from the dead except in salvation, where we were dead in our trespasses and sin and we've been made alive to God. We've seen that type of resurrection, but you've not seen anybody die and then somebody go over, pop them on the head, and them get up. You say, well, I saw it. You got a lot of convincing for me to believe it. You know why? Because I don't think there's apostles that are around today. One of the reasons that there's no apostles around today, because a true apostle had to see the resurrected Lord with their own eyes. That's one of the biblical definitions of an apostle. And so you've got this man that saw Lazarus raised from the dead. You saw this guy that's riding on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus rebukes the wind and the storm, and the sea is flat as glass. Judas sees that. He's there when 5,000 men plus women and children are fed with two fish and five little loaves of barley. He's there. And yet, he was there to kiss the Son of God, but he was lost. I can't help but think of the role of the Corinth Baptist Church. If everybody that's on the roll of this church showed up on a Sunday, they would be on the grass because this place would be full. If they were to come every Sunday, we would probably have to go to at least three services on a Sunday morning. But yet we've got people on the roll of our church. I think the FBI would have a hard time finding them. I mean, I really do. And so you've got Judas Iscariot. Just because you think you've got something doesn't necessarily make it so. Let me tell you a funny story about a fellow that is a member of this church. His name's Larry Davis. Years ago, he was working in Atlanta. He was doing some work, I think, for his Uncle Grady. Well, there was a guy that came by and he said, "Hey, I've got a brand new VCR. Never been out of the box. I've got to sell. I got to have some money." He said, "Man, this is like a $300 VCR right here." And he goes, "Well, what do you want for it?" $100. So Larry's like, I don't think he had but about 60 or 70 on him. So the guy that he was working with, he borrowed some money from him to make up the 100. He took the box and he stuck it in the back of the van because they were doing some work. Guy, he takes off. Well, 30 minutes later, it's time to eat lunch. He goes out there and says, "I'm going to look at my VCR." Cuts that box open. You know what's inside of it? Old phone books. There's not a VCR anywhere in that box. He thought he was buying a VCR. What he bought was a bunch of old Atlanta telephone books. There's some people, and they think they've bought salvation just because they got some mental assent. But the bottom line is, Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because there was never a change. Never a change. And so, all conversions are not biblical conversions. I heard about one guy one time, and he said, "I know I'm saved." "So how do you know you're saved?" "Well, I went outside one night, I looked up and I saw the moon and I saw Jesus in the moon." And that was his conversion. That guy's lost as a goat. Last time I read the New Testament, I didn't see anything in the Gospel of John or the Book of Romans about looking at the moon and seeing Jesus. I see in there, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And we're going to get to repentance here in just a little bit. But everything that says I'm saved is not saved. Well, I want you to look with me at verse 19. Go back to James chapter 2. "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well." Good. That's great. You're right, there's one God. But then he burst their bubble. "The devils," or the demons, "also believe and tremble." That word "tremble" means to shudder. In other words, you believe there's one God? The devils believe that. And they shudder at it. When I read that, one of the first things that I think of is, well, what else do devils believe? What kind of faith do they really have? Well, they believe in the deity of Christ, which is a lot more than some theologians believe. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that is a title of deity. Go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And I hope that on Wednesday nights that you come with a pencil and piece of paper and you're ready to move around, because I do a little more of this on Wednesdays than I do any other time. But I want you to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and I want you to look with me at verse 23. "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit." He was an evil spirit there. "And he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thou, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.'" You got a demon, and he calls Jesus the Holy One of God. Well, look over at chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 5. I preached on this a couple of months ago. Look at verse 7. You've got the maniac of Gadara. Verse 7, "And he cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?' There's that phrase again. And so, demons are orthodox. They believe in the deity of Christ. Not only do they believe in the deity of Christ, they believe that Jesus is the way of salvation. Flip back a page or so to Mark chapter 3. Look at verse 11. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And what did he say? Don't make me known. He straightly charged them that they should not make him known. In other words, they knew that he was the way of salvation. Not only that, they believe in the authority of the Bible, which is what some Baptists don't even believe. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, you've got the story of Jesus' temptation. And what did the devil try to twist? He tried to twist the Word of God. Flip over to the last book in the Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. All right, look with me. I think it's verse 12. Yeah, I was looking at 11. Okay. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. Now, why has he come down and why is he having great wrath? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Who told him? The Bible did. We don't find anywhere where God has this conversation with him and saying, I'm going to give you, you know, a little while longer. No, he just knows what the Bible has to say prophetically. And so, they're orthodox in the fact that they know that the Bible is the Word of God. But just because you're informed doesn't mean that you're transformed. Did you know that it was said about Karl Marx that he could quote the first four books of the New Testament? In other words, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He memorized them as a kid. But he was lost as lost could be. And so, they believe in the authority of the Bible. What about punishment? What about hell? Do they believe in that? I'll just give you the text that you can look up later. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, they basically said, don't torment us before the time. What time? The time when they're going to be cast into hell. Did you know that the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that hell was made for the devil and his angels? And so they believe in hell. They also believe in answered prayer. We won't go back to it, but in Mark chapter 5, what did they do? They said, Jesus, send us into the swine. And they got a prayer answered. There may be times when people that are unsaved ask, and it seems as though maybe God just lets the answer come. But that doesn't mean that somebody's born again. Just because there's information doesn't mean there's transformation. And so if you go back to James, basically what you've got is you've got a group of people and they go, we've got faith, but we don't do anything. We just sit around on a, you know, like a bump on a log. And he's saying, well, if you've got that kind of faith, it's dead. Last week, if we were going to do a little outline of it, we would say that in verse 14 through 17, there's a dead faith. If we took tonight's passage, starting in verse 18, and went through probably verse 20, we could call that a demonic faith. And if we picked up in 21 through the end of the chapter in verse 26, we could probably say that's a dynamic faith. And so, they're orthodox. Number two, their faith is really no faith at all. No faith at all. It's a faith that doesn't have repentance. It's a faith that's empty. It's a knowledge about something without it being rooted. I can't help but think of the parable of the soils in Matthew 13. Only one of the four types of soils, only one of them, had good root. You don't ever find these angels singing about salvation. You never find a demon singing nothing but the blood. You don't find them singing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood." But you do find good angels singing things like that. If we turned over to Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, we would find that they're basically singing about the Lamb that was slain. And so there's joy in heaven by the angels that did not fall. But you never see a demon singing a song like that. Oh, they know about it. Make no mistake, they know about it. Let me tell you a story of something that happened at this church. Many years ago, Brother Richards booked a video that was put out by the Northside Baptist Church where Dr. Jack Hudson was at. I see Miss Marge shaking her head. She remembers this. We had a video that they had taped. I won't go into all the detail, but basically what had happened was this. There was a girl in Savannah, Georgia, that had gotten involved in witchcraft. One Sunday night, she heard Dr. Jack Hudson on the radio. She tried to change the channel in the car that she was driving, and for some reason, she could not change that channel, and she heard him preaching. She finally felt conviction, and she thought, "I've got to have some help. I'm under control of these spirits." She got the phone number off of the radio as he was giving, I guess, the number as he was closing out the broadcast. She called long distance to Charlotte, North Carolina. And he said, "We'll get you some help. Can you get to the bus station?" "Yes." They called. They got her a bus ticket. They bought it in Charlotte. They bought her a one-way ticket from the Savannah bus station to Charlotte, North Carolina. The next day when she got there, he had a couple of people pick her up at the bus station, bring her to the church. They had a video camera that was set up because as he was talking to her, he just kind of realized that she had some real issues going on when it came to demons. All of this is being videotaped, and we see this tape months later. They're there, and he and his youth pastor are in his office. The videotape is rolling. He was not there by himself. He wanted to make sure he had somebody else there as a witness to make sure nothing could be accusatory toward him. He began to talk to her, and he said something like this: "I command you by the blood of Jesus Christ to come out of this girl." Every once in a while, you would begin to hear a deep, masculine, gutter-type voice that would begin to growl and would begin to speak. And finally, he said, "I command you by Jesus that died on the cross and shed his blood." And this voice, you could hear it as clear could be. And just saying this, and when I tell this story, it's like little chinchillas running up down my back. The voice said, "You don't have to tell me that. I was there. I saw the whole bloody mess." And I'm thinking, wow. Demons know that stuff. They're there. And when you look at that, they see in their mind what happened 2,000 years ago. But instead of being joyous about it, they hate it. And so they don't have a faith that is a saving type faith. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, if you have a wish for others to be saved, then you're probably saved yourself. But if you don't want others to be saved, you're probably not saved yourself. And these demons certainly don't sing about salvation. Well, they also don't have a faith that leads to repentance. And people are like that today. They want heaven, but they don't want the holiness. And we've got a whole country full of churches. And what do they want to do? They want to have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. When you're saved, there's something on the inside that says live right. J.C. Ryle made this statement. He said, where there's no holy living, there's no Holy Ghost. That's not to say that people can be perfect, because none of us are going to be perfect. We all have a sin nature, and we battle that old rascal every day. But we ought to want to be. We ought to want to be. Whenever we sin, there ought to be something on the inside of us that says, I wished I hadn't have done that. Wished I hadn't have done it. Well, if you look at verse 20, it's a faith without good works. But wilt thou know, O vain man or foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Let me tell you this. You're saved by faith. You're saved by faith alone. But faith that saves is never alone. If you really are saved, James says, the fruit's going to be there. And I hear of people, and they've been saved 40 years, and there's never fruit. Saved 30 years, they could care less if anybody ever gets saved. Saved 20 years, and all that time, never a desire to pick the Bible up, never a desire. Well, that's telling. That's telling. And so, what kind of faith do the devils have? Well, they've got a faith that is demonic, and it's a faith that doesn't save. But for the child of God, when we repent of our sins and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a difference. Now somebody says, now preacher, what is repentance? It's not great, deep, theological, you know, yearnings and longings and all of that kind of stuff. Repentance is simply this. It is a change of mind or attitude. That's all it is. You're walking in one direction. Jesus saves you, and you start walking in the opposite direction. That's all it is. But when you truly get saved, you're walking in an opposite direction. It's not just something that you verbalize. When you get saved, it has to do with the intellect. It has to do with the emotion. It also has to do with the will. We say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a complete trust. And it's a complete trust that includes repentance. God said that he calls men everywhere to repent. You can't read the New Testament without finding that word a lot. And so when somebody says, oh, you don't find repentance in salvation, well, just mark it down. They got a problem with biblical salvation. You got to know you're a sinner before you can be saved. If you don't know you're a sinner, why do you need to be saved? Does that not make sense? Why get saved when you don't need to be saved? I mean, you're out there swimming around, you're having a great time, and somebody comes out there, I'm saving you, you go, what from? I'm swimming great. No, it's when you're going under and somebody reaches down and pulls you up, you needed it. And so James says, the demons believe. He said, you make sure you do this. You got faith? Let's see some fruit. Let's see some works. We don't get saved by those works. It's just simply an evidence that we are. Okay? Let's stand together. Appreciate so much you being here. We'll pick up next time in verse 21. There's a couple of examples that we're going to look at as we finish up 21 through 26. We'll talk about Abraham and we'll talk about Rahab, two great Old Testament characters, okay? Father, I want to thank you for